I'm standing here because I can't play that part. I'll have to have a go in a minute. But thanks, Huban. That's the tune for our opening song in a few moments' time. But first of all, I'd like once again to welcome you to worship. But firstly, I'd like to thank the 35 church members, plus Matthew and Martha, who arrived yesterday morning, demolished all the available bacon rolls, then hoovered, dusted, cleaned windows, cleaned floors, and much more to make this church a lot cleaner. So thank you very much, team, for doing that, and it was a great job. As a reward, you don't have to pay for your tea and coffee, which for others is available as well after our meeting in the community hall. There'll be no open air today. The band going about 2:30, 2:15 to the Spa Pavilion, where they're going to help the scouts of the district. So no open air, but the band will be going to the Spa. We have a lot of coats, jackets, permanently hanging on hangers in the hall, and it makes it difficult, especially on a day like this when it's been raining, for people in the church to find a peg to put their coat on. So if your coat's hanging there permanently, you've got 2 weeks to take it home or you'll never find it again. Okay? So you've been warned. A 2-week warning for that. Members of the advisory team, just to remind you that there's been a change of date for the next meeting, and it's on the 16th of May. A big thank you to all of you who took part in the annual appeal self-denial collection here in the hall. We raised £6,797. That's brilliant, so thank you very much indeed. And finally, a message from the Scouts. King Charles III coronation can be seen here on the big screen on Saturday the 6th of May. Doors open at 9:30. Refreshments are available and donations are towards the 25th World Scout Jubilee. So if you don't want to stay at home on your own and watch the coronation, then come here. And I'll just remind you, if you want to know, Coronation Day is also my birthday. Thank you very much.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you, John, for those announcements. Would it be cheeky for me to say 10:30, our house, next week for a spring clean? No? It's a bit cheeky, is it? Okay, then, so. Some of you will have seen a poster appear on the back notice board. And it's a course that I've adapted from a friend, and it's really to introduce people to the Salvation Army. I've called it Army Basics, but because I've called it Army Basics, I've done two things. I've gone back to my military days, and I've gone a little bit army on it. It's just a joke. It's just light-hearted. But it might remind some people of Elijah Cadman as well. And if you don't know who Elijah Cadman is, this is your time to come to the course. So I've called it Army Basics, and I've subtitled it a six-week course exploring the history, doctrine, worship, and mission of the Salvation Army under the command of Captain Paul Williams of the Felixstowe Garrison. So yeah, I have gone Elijah Cadman with it. But it's just for a laugh, it's just for a joke. But we will talk about the military metaphor during it. And the six sessions will cover the following topics. What is the Salvation Army? What does the Salvation Army believe? The first session will be about what does the Salvation Army believe about God. Then the third session is what does the Salvation Army believe? That will be about you and me, about humanity. Then fourth session is the Salvation Army in worship. And that's when we'll talk about the particularities of Salvation Army worship. Why doesn't the Salvation Army have communion? Why doesn't the Salvation Army baptize? Well, Salvation Army doesn't, but the Holy Spirit does. Fifthly, the Salvation Army in mission. Why do we do the things that we do? And finally, the Salvation Army and its soldiership. And we'll talk about the various forms of membership that exist for the Salvation Army. I will apologise for one thing. The dates are really weird. But I wanted to do this. I wanted to get it done before the summer. So I fitted it in where my schedule allows. So it's not every week. It's not every 2 weeks. Sometimes there's even a 3 week gap. But it's the best I could do. This is open to absolutely everyone. Open to absolutely everyone. It might be that you've been a soldier for 85 years. Well, in that time you will have forgotten stuff. It might be that you've walked through the doors of the Salvation Army in the last few weeks and you're going, I kind of like it here. They're all right. But what on earth is going on here? There'll be plenty of time here to answer your questions. Army Basics, that was the six first weeks. Week seven is when we leopard crawl under barbed wire, under fire and stuff, as Derek was asking. But yeah, the dates are in the back. Everyone is absolutely welcome. There will be tea. And I'm thinking of being very generous on the 30th of July and cracking out the ice lollies. So yeah, if that's not an incentive, I don't know what is. Right, I'm going to talk a little bit more, I'm sorry, before you get to exercise your voices, but we ran out of time last week. Last week I introduced the first instalment of a new sermon series, but I didn't have the chance to tell you that because we had a sermon from me as normal and we had an excellent one from Simon too, so time ran out. So I just want to kind of go over that. The series that we've entered into is built around the seven identity statements that the Salvation Army released in 2021. And these statements are concerned of five mission priorities, one vision statement, and one statement of intention. None of these are new, and in fact, those kind of observant among us and those kind of well-versed in Salvationism, particularly in the last 25 years, will recognise that they are built on General John Gowans's Save Souls, Grow Saints and Serve Suffering Humanity, which for my money is the best distillation of what it is to be the Salvation Army. But I'll go into a little bit more detail. The 5 points of the mission statement are these. To share the good news, and that's what we considered last week. The second is to serve others without discrimination. To keep things interesting, we'll do that next week. Today, we'll look at the third mission statement, which is to nurture disciples of Jesus. Then further on, later on, we'll look at this, the fourth one, which is to care for creation. That wouldn't have been in the mind of John Gowans in the mid-90s when he came up with his thing. But to care for creation is at the heart of what we ought to be as Christians. Fifthly and finally, for the mission statements, we'll look at to seek justice and reconciliation. Then we'll add on to that the two other things that I mentioned, our vision, fullness of life for all with Jesus. Who wants a bit of that? Who wants others to know a bit of that? What a statement of vision, fullness of life for all. And our intention is to do that by loving God and loving others, and that's where we'll conclude this series. So what I'm interested in here is giving us the opportunity to consider what it means to be the Salvation Army in the here and now, and to be clear about our priorities. So I'm going to make a disclaimer from, well, not quite the very beginning of the series, but you get what I mean. I'm not doing this as an edict from territorial headquarters. I'm not doing this because it's the latest fad and because we pretend it is going to solve all of our problems. I'm doing this because I, as one of the leaders of the Corps, want everything that we do to be done with intention. Everything to be done with intentionality. So I want us, I need us, to get the basics absolutely right. I do not want us to do anything because it's what we've always done. I don't want us to do anything because it's what others simply expect of us. I don't want to do anything because it's what we enjoy. I want us to do things because we know it's what God is calling us to do in Felixstowe in 2023. Because I have a real sense that God has blessed the Salvation Army in Felixstowe. Look around. Look around at each other. Look around at each other. God has blessed us. And I believe that He continues to bless us. So I want us to remain nimble and responsive to His calling on our lives. Our soul aim, the only thing that drives us, the only thing that it should interest us, is to please God and be His worthy representatives in this small part of the world in which He has placed us. And in other words, to join with Him in His mission. I've talked enough. Shall we exercise our vocal cords? Oh, come on, I was hoping for a little bit more enthusiasm than that. But the band introduced the tune that we're going to sing to now. All of my days, I will sing this song of gladness. Give my praise to the fountain of delights. All of my days will be worship of God Almighty. For in my helplessness you heard my cry, and waves of mercy poured down on my life. What a testimony. I hope it's yours, and I hope that you can sing it with that attitude. Please rise if you are able as we sing together.
And wait.
Please take your seats. That imagery, you know, of that glorious future that awaits us, it's what gets me up in the morning. I think it's what makes me a Christian. It's what keeps me a Christian. That one day, we'll stand before God, the Father, the Son, and in the presence of the Holy Spirit, and all will be worship. And all will shout, "Worthy is the Lamb." I'll have a bit of that. Yeah. Yeah. Come, beautiful Christ. Radiate thy beauty in me. 'Tis thee I adore. What can I ask more but to live for thee, beautiful Christ. Radiate thy beauty in me. Beautiful image, isn't it? Beautiful idea. That God imparts his beauty in us and that others can see God through us. Beautiful idea, and I hope that that can be part of your prayers this morning. Let's sing together. Let's close our eyes and let's bow our heads and focus on God's presence among us this morning. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning with hearts full of worship and adoration. We love you, Lord, because you first loved us. And because of that, we know that we are not alone. We know that we are not unloved. And we know that we are not without hope. Lord, we worship you this morning. We thank you, Lord, that it's the privilege of all believers to be able to share in a sense in your divinity and to become like you. We can't become God. We can't become you, but we can become like you, Lord. And Lord, I pray for an outpouring of your Holy Spirit, a renewal of your grace, Lord, that we might be emboldened and empowered to walk that path of Christ-likeness. We think of the world this morning around us. There's still plenty of evidence of hurt and brokenness, but this morning my mind is drawn particularly to South Sudan. It sounds serious what's going on there. Lots of people have already lost their lives, and there's a sense in which it could have serious repercussions not only in the continent of Africa but more broadly in the world as well, Lord. I'm aware that South Sudan is a Christian country. So, Lord, I pray that you would give strength to your people. And I pray, Lord, that you would keep them, that you would protect them, and that you would keep them. Lord, we welcome your presence among us this morning. And we pray, Lord, that you would speak to us and that you would challenge us, and that when we leave this place later on, that we would leave this place knowing that our worship only really begins as we leave this place. We make this prayer in and through the glorious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So, I'm going to come down. I told them, John, I wouldn't move, but I'm going to, because I can't help myself. And do you know what? I'm not going to bother you. I'm not going to bother you today. Is that good? I'm not going to bother you with anything, but I want you to stand up, because we're going to sing a song, which has got lots of actions and lots of movement. So I'm not going to ask you to do any homework today. I'm not going to ask you to do any spying on the congregation for me today. I'll do that myself. But we're going to say, it's one of my favourite children's songs. The way it's going to be, the world is going to see a little bit of heaven in my life. What a brilliant song that is. What a brilliant song that is. Imagine that. We walk out of this place and we say, the way it's going to be, the world is going to see a little bit of heaven in my life. Imagine that. Wouldn't that be amazing? I think it would be brilliant. So let's all stand up. I hope you've been warmed up. Your feet are nice and and athletic, I think, is the one for you. Here we go.
The world. give them a green star when their participation was brilliant. I'll give them an orange star when it was like, did the better. And I'll give them a red star when, frankly, it was rubbish. And I'll go there just as if you were looking back. I forgot to take my asthma pump this morning. Lovely. Oh, just in time for the ministry from the band. Evening prayer. What a friend we have in Jesus. Now we're going to have the worship band. We're missing one of the Beatles, aren't we? Say again? Yeah, we're missing the loud one, yeah. Yeah. But thanks for taking part and participating. We really appreciate it, and we valued your ministry over the last few weeks. Cornerstone is what we're going to join and sing together.
So I invite you to stand if you are able. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name.
Christ alone
calls. Amen. Please take your seats. And we, as we listen to today's short Bible reading.
Good morning. The reading this morning is from Matthew 28, verses 16 to 20. And I'm reading from the NIV. And the title of this particular passage is The Great Commission. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Amen.
Thank you, Judy. We now listen to the ministry from the songsters. Know my heart. You moved us and you heard that, and your ministry was appreciated and valued. And it's good to see a few new faces in the songsters as well, when I can still see a few closet songsters around the place. So do something about it. So, today we turn to the disciple element, as I say, of our five mission priorities to nurture disciples of Jesus. And I begin by asking the question then, what is the difference between a plain old Christian and a disciple? In his book, The Radical Disciple, John Stott grapples with this very question. And it goes without saying that both terms suggest a relationship with Jesus. But the word disciple implies the relationship of a pupil to a teacher. We nowadays think of this relationship in terms of the transmission of knowledge. But in the ancient world, studying, so to speak, with a teacher meant seeking to think like him, to behave like him, to live like him, and in essence, to become like him. Stott, in his book, argues that to belong to Christ as a Christian requires nothing less than radical discipleship. This may sound buzzwordy, but it's nothing of the sort. Radical discipleship is simply entering into the sort of learning / imitating relationship that Jesus himself would have expected in his time and expects now. So Christian isn't a label that we pin on ourselves, because in a sense we take on the family name by calling ourselves Christians. We take on the name of God's family. We know Jesus and we seek to live a Jesus-shaped life. Last week I shared an easy-to-remember structure for a simple testimony. Who can remember it? Come on, oh, Glenn is top of the class. Yeah, did you have your hand up? Do you remember? What was it? No, who remembers it? Julia. Yeah.
One word to describe the work he's doing in you.
Yeah.
And one word to describe how you're liking him or how you're following him.
So he said, three-word testimony. What you were like before you met Jesus, how you met Jesus, and the difference that Jesus is making in your life. I'm glad we're doing this, because I'm trying to be practical at the minute, and I'm trying to do what I'm not comfortable doing, and I'm trying to do things that you can take home with you. So last week, we looked at a three-word testimony. So today, I'm going to share a simple model of discipleship that hopefully will help us to reflect, and you can hopefully take away with you to go, oh, wait a minute, what does it mean for me to be a disciple right now? And these are three things that I want to share with you. And it's an idea which is called a model that is called 3D discipleship. Jesus' disciples are devoted. Jesus' disciples are developed or developing. And Jesus' disciples are deployed. Discipleship is a D. Then we've got three more. Devoted, developed, deployed. Jesus' disciples are devoted to Jesus. And Jesus' favorite invitation was simply, follow me. And he issues that invitation 24 times in the Gospels. He called Peter, Andrew, James, and John to follow him. And they dropped everything to do so. He said those words to Matthew, a very unpopular tax collector. and he left everything behind to follow Jesus. The same invitation was extended to Philip of Bethsaida, and he followed Jesus. He spoke these words to casual observers who praised him for his words, but who praised him with their words, but were unwilling to change their lifestyles. He even shared the invitation with a wealthy young ruler who chose to hold on to his power and money rather than follow Jesus. Jesus invited everyone to follow him. And we get a sense from these examples that following cannot be done at a distance. It takes a certain level of commitment. These people, they either dropped everything and followed Jesus, or they went the other way. Fundamentally, following Jesus is being devoted to him because he is our only hope for salvation. Disciples are devoted. Disciples are developed. And they develop the attitudes and priorities of Jesus. Jesus saw potential in very ordinary fishermen that others simply couldn't see. But Jesus didn't do this naively. He recognized that these ordinary blokes would need some training so that they could follow him properly. So over the course of a period of 2 or 3 years for Jesus' closest disciples, and when we think about that, it doesn't sound like very long, does it? But then if we reflect on ourselves, have we invested that much in our discipleship? 2 or 3 years worth of intense learning with Jesus, I wonder. But during this period of training, this is when Jesus' first disciples would have begun to develop the same attitudes and priorities as him. Well, what are these attitudes and priorities? We're going to let Jesus speak for himself. The first is love for one another. By this, Jesus says, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Secondly, self-denial, even death. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their faith for me and who loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. Thirdly, learning and living the word of God. If you hold on to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Fourthly, allegiance to Jesus above all else. And this, I think, is a really challenging passage of scripture, and particularly when we don't get the time to kind of dig into it. If anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother and wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even then their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Jesus' disciples are committed to developing Jesus' character in their own lives. Third D, devoted, developed, deployed. Jesus' disciples are deployed to be disciples who make disciples. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. For his first disciples, fishing the Sea of Galilee took a back seat, really, in essence, because from then on, Jesus' first disciples would fish for people. From the point at which they met Jesus, everything changed, and they became captivated by a greater vision of multiplying disciples and taking the message of Jesus across the globe. And this is the same vision that Judy shared with us earlier. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." Often, I believe that we read this text maybe slightly carelessly, because I think, in a sense, we confuse conversion and discipleship. Conversion, of course, is a moment in time. But discipleship, the radical lifestyle that Jesus calls all believers to, is an ongoing process of learning and growth. So I think that the clarification brought by the Salvation Army in the UK's latest mission statement is helpful. Disciples are deployed to nurture other disciples. So we'll summarize once again that being a disciple is admitting that there is salvation in none other than Jesus Christ. The disciple commits themselves to living like Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. And the disciple dedicates themselves to including others in this way of living. Devoted, developed, deployed. So like last week, where I could have given a corporate application but chose to give an individual application, well, I'll do the same today. So yes, as members of this church, you have a right to be discipled. And as one of the leaders of this church, I have a responsibility to nurture you. Yes, we get it. But my focus today is on each individual, on each of us as individuals. So I'm simply going to raise a few questions. What are you doing to take responsibility for your own discipleship? What are you doing to draw near Jesus? How are you responding to Jesus' ongoing call to follow him? What are you doing to remain fresh in the faith? What are you doing to gain new insights? Are you living the lifestyle that Jesus calls each believer to embrace? There's another sermon coming on here, but we're going to leave it. How are you becoming more like Jesus? Of course, undoubtedly, the Holy Spirit plays his part. His work in you is transforming you. But I believe, and I believe this firmly, that each individual believer has a duty to invest in their own discipleship. You can't wait for others. You can't wait for others. Can't just sit there. Can't just sit there with this, I'm going off notes, bless me if you can attitude. We don't have that here, so I'm not too worried about it. But you can't come here on a Sunday morning and devote this 1 hour and thinking that all the answers are going to come from what we sing and from what I speak or from whatever who else has stood here speaks. We've got to be committed to this. We've got to be willing to invest in ourselves, in our own discipleship, in our own relationship with Jesus. We've got to pray. We've got to read the Bible and other things, because if we read the Bible on our own, well, it can be a little bit dangerous. So we need the guidance of people that have studied it. Reading devotional materials. And here is the best one. Here's the best one if you want to be a better disciple, if you want to grow in discipleship. Serve. It's come alongside people. Serve, nurture, help, mix with others. That's when you're going to see what it means to live like Christ. So yes, the church, the core, the leaders of the core have a responsibility to nurture you. But you have a responsibility to nurture yourself, and then hopefully in time each other too. Jesus sent his disciples and sends us today to make disciples. The Salvation Army in the UK echoes this by calling us to nurture disciples of Jesus. This is not conclusion. This is not someone else's job. It's a responsibility that befalls each and every one of us. But it cannot be fulfilled if we are not, each of us, committed to discipleship. We're going to sing a Salvation Army favourite now. And I'm not going to push this any further. But I just want you to make this your prayer this morning, to be like Jesus. And as we sing it, I want you to consider what you need to do. The Holy Spirit works, no doubt. What do you need to do to be more like Jesus? What changes could you make? What practices could you take on board? I've not helped you much. I've not given you many answers today. I've not given you any answers. But I've given you plenty of questions to take away and to think about. What does it mean for you to be like Jesus?
To be like Jesus, this hope possesses me. In every thought and deed, this is my aim, my creed. To be like Jesus, possesses me. His Spirit helping me, like him I'll be. To be like Jesus, this hope possesses me.
Penny's going to carry on playing, and I just want you to close your eyes, and I just want you, in your mind and with the Holy Spirit's help, to do an audit. What is it that I need right now, Lord? What is it that I need right now? Holy Spirit, cast your light on something that I need to improve, or on something that I need to do. Use these few moments just for yourself. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for his teaching, his role modeling, but above all, we thank you for his sacrifice. And we thank you, Lord, that he allows us to draw near to you, but he also shows us what it's to be truly human. We want to be better people. We want to be like Jesus. Holy Spirit, guide us. Highlight things that we could do so that we can walk towards that aim. We make this prayer in the glorious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. We close our worship this morning with a prayer that my wife makes for me. She probably changes the words a little bit, but the song's called Teach Me to Dance. Not literally Teach Me to Dance, but Teach Me to Dance to the Beat of God's Heart. That's what we're talking about, I think, this morning. Let's stand and sing together. And if you feel moved, well, dancing seems appropriate in these moments too. Teach me to dance to the beat of your heart. Teach me to move in the power of your spirit. Teach me to walk in the light of your presence. Teach me to dance to the beat of your heart. Teach me to dance with your heart of compassion. Teach me to trust in the power of your promise. Teach me to hope in the way of your coming. Teach me to dance to the beat of your heart. You wrote a rhythm of life, created heaven and earth. In you we shone with pleasure. So like a child in your sight, I dance to see your delight. For I was made for your compassion. Teach me to trust in the word of your promise. Teach me to hope in the day of your coming. Teach me to dance to the beat of your heart. Let all my movements express a heart that loves and yes, a hope that leaves you or obey you. Let all my energy bless to see the joy in your face. Light of your presence, teach me to dance to the beat of your heart. Teach me to love with your heart of compassion. Teach me to move in the heart of your promise. Teach me to hope in the power of your coming. Teach me to dance. Teach me to dance. Teach me to dance to the beat of your heart. As we were singing that, I was wondering, is doing the gay gardens up and down the aisle an appropriate response? Because it's the only dancing I can do. Yeah. Let me pronounce a benediction. Now, may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen.